Hey everyone!
Merry Muslim Christmas!
And Happy New Year! I am so ready for 2017 to be over.
Sorry, we're also less than a month away from being 3 years old.
It's our anniversary. We're three. And by the way, even though we're past the holidays, you can still get in the holiday spirit and donate.
Please donate. In the coming years, we'll be taking advertising. If you're interested in being a sponsor, hit us up on our contact form, goodmuslimbadmuslim.com. Okay, let's start the show.
Number cup. So it's a little after Christmas.
Christmas! It's not that much after Christmas. It's like a couple days after Christmas.
Christmas is over. It's
Christmas
gone.
Is not over. Christmas is the whole month of December. Christmas is at least until a couple days after New Year's.
Do you have Christmas reflections you would like to share, Tess?
Yes. I have lots of thoughts on Christmas because I've been celebrating Christmas for 3 months. And I've watched a lot of Hallmark movies, and I have some big ideas.
Let's hear them.
My big idea is that the Hallmark Christmas rom-com industry is an arm of the KKK.
This is true.
I mean, it's a little harsh, but I do think it's like, okay, here's the thing. There's always a lot of white people. Mm. Most of them take place in small towns in middle America, where there's also other white people. Mm. There are rarely people of color in any of these movies. The romances are always between two white people. And there's a lot of urban women that go back to a small town and are convinced to stay in the small town. So I think it's kind of this like reverse gentrification move where these movies are trying to, you know, convince America that they need to go back to the small towns.
Oh, yeah.
And convince all these millennials to go back to the small towns. And there they'll find their husband who is a single dad with a daughter and a dead wife. They're never divorced, these dads that these women fall for. So this is my theory.
I'm with you. I don't think it's a theory. I think it's just a series of observational facts.
That's literally what it is.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, because I've been watching all these other kinds of Christmas movies too. So Lifetime actually has interracial relationships. And theirs is a little bit more, they acknowledge that sex happens.
Okay, but do the interracial relationships work out?
Yeah. On Lifetime, they do.
Oh.
On Hallmark, they don't exist. And then there's a lot of the black Christmas rom-com genre, which there's a few. Taye Diggs is always in them.
Oh, hot.
Those definitely acknowledge sex, the ones that I've seen. But I just think that Hallmark has this particularly, like, white brand to their movies.
White Christian Christmas.
This is why I think that My Muslim Christmas rom-com is going to be amazing, because it's going to kind of, like, be very subversive and go into this genre of movie watchers who are usually going to be, you know, the Midwest white. Actually, a lot of people have been watching Christmas movies, so it's going to, but it's, you know, I'll somehow infiltrate Muslimness into this genre, and then people are going to be bombarded with Muslimish messages, and they won't even know it.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Totally subversive. So this Muslim Christmas rom-com I'm writing, it's a political step.
We're not at our Creeping Sharias yet, but you pulled like an awesome Creeping Sharia and got on the Hallmark podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing.
I was on a podcast called A Very Hallmark Christmas, which reviews Hallmark Christmas movies. They do one movie per each podcast episode, and it's this couple out in West Virginia. And I was so excited to be a guest on their show. Go check it out. It's been really funny because they're watching all, whatever, 33 movies that Hallmark is putting out. And as you progressively listen to their podcast, you can tell how exhausted they're getting listening to all these movies. And this last one that I heard, they got into this like really big like fight over one of the issues, and you could tell how tired they were when they cut off the podcast. It was just really funny because like it's definitely, you're getting like brainwashed watching these movies, and they're definitely tired. But it was a lot of fun to kind of watch and listen with them through this.
Did you feel like after you were done watching it, were you like, oh my God, I need to move back home?
No.
So it didn't infiltrate you?
Well, I think the movies are less about moving back home with your parents, and they're more about moving to the Midwest where it snows.
Oh, you wanted specifically to go to like St. Louis?
Well, they're definitely trying to convince you to move to small towns. And I wasn't convinced to move to a small town. Because I'm watching it as a woman of color, you know, like these small towns look kind of scary.
Yeah.
And like, what is a bar with a bunch of white people dancing might be inviting in this movie? To me, it's kind of frightening. Like when I see that, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm not supposed to enter that space. So that's my experience with it. But it's all exotic. Zara, you came to my exotic Christmas party.
It was fabulous.
Yeah, we did all the exotic things that you Christmas celebrators do?
I was a little disappointed because based off the title of the invitation, I thought it was going to be an orgy and it wasn't.
Oh, it was exotic, not erotic.
I get those confused sometimes.
Yeah. We had a Yule log.
See, again, I thought it was going to be a really hot orgy.
Yeah, the Yule log is kind of, you know what makes me also kind of think is a porny word? Chestnuts.
Yeah.
I was like, why are they roasting chestnuts?
Yeah.
But it's their actual nuts. But then why would they call them chestnuts?
Have you ever eaten roasted chestnuts?
No, I thought someone was going to bring it to my party. I asked people to bring roasted chestnuts, figgy pudding, other things that y'all eat.
We all got super lazy. Except our friend Sean.
Yeah, Sean was the one who got us the Yule log. We had a gingerbread house. It was my first time making a gingerbread house. I made Christmas cookies with icing and sprinkles on it. That was my first time doing that.
I think it's so funny that you waited this long because as soon as I... This was the same for me with pets. As soon as I had my own income, I was like, I'm doing all the Christmas things and I'm getting a cat.
Well, the thing for me is that I didn't know what all the Christmas things were until I started watching these movies. Because I wasn't really raised around white people. I didn't really, you know, I wasn't in their houses for all these customs. So once I started watching these Hallmark movies, I was like, wait, what are they eating? What's happening? And I think also because we're in California, we just celebrate Christmas in a not snow-related way. And a lot of these people have very snow-related customs. Like, all these movies are ice skating. So, yeah.
I will say if I watch a Christmas movie that doesn't have snow, I feel cheated.
Yeah, but there's a lot of Christmas movies with no snow.
Like, which ones?
Oh, gosh.
Good ones?
No. They're not. They're never good.
See, that's what I'm saying.
I know. I do like the snow, but the snow's always so fake that it kind of, like, destroys it for me. You can always tell it's, like, shaving cream or something by the way it falls. And Zara, you also brought a Christmas tree to my exotic Christmas party. So this was my first Christmas tree.
Your first ever.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about this.
I know. It's a real Christmas tree. I'm not quite sure how you're supposed to clean up all the needles.
Vacuum.
Because there's a lot of needles.
Oh, no.
But it smelled very nice.
We really wanted to get you like a 7-foot tree.
Yeah, it wouldn't fit.
It wouldn't
also fit. Who was going to carry that up? Also, who was going to dismantle that? Zara, what's your Christmas been like?
Okay, so I was really, like, not into Christmas rom-coms ever. And I tried to get into them. And I watched Christmas Inheritance on Netflix. And I was like, oh, this is, like, White Supremacy Central.
Yeah. That one's not a very good one.
Yeah. Like, she leaves her city life, goes to the small town, realizes she doesn't belong with the guy who is black and is like, oh, okay, I'm going to be with this white guy instead. And that's better. It was, like, really weird. And I was like, this is a very problematic and strange plotline.
Wait, which one was it? The Christmas in... I forgot.
Christmas Inheritance.
I was watching it with, like, I wasn't paying attention. The better one on Netflix is Christmas Prince. This whole, like, fairy tale aspect. There's, like, a genre of fairy tales where the girl falls in love with some sort of a prince or royalty or, like, famous family. I think I've seen, like, 6 of those. Those are pretty good.
Hmm.
But my favorite is always, like, the fake boyfriend genre. The fake boyfriend or the fake girlfriend. Today I saw one about a fake girlfriend.
So I went totally the opposite route and watched a bunch of Christmas horror movies.
Oh, Krampus. Isn't that on Netflix?
I watched Krampus. Krampus is great.
Was it?
Yeah. It's super fun. I highly recommend it.
Really scary.
Yeah. I mean, if you like scary movies, then it's like being on a roller coaster kind of. You're like, oh, yeah, around the corner. No, don't go investigate. Ah.
What else did you watch? I didn't realize there were so many scary movies.
Oh, my God. There's so many Christmas horror movies. So Gremlins is one.
Oh, right. Of course. Classic.
Yeah. Which also, that is so, like, racist. There are so many articles about the, like, subtext, the racist subtext of Gremlins, about, like, white people being afraid of black people moving into the suburbs.
I actually haven't watched the movie.
So there's the same, like, white narrative I'm seeing still in the horror films. The ones that I watched Christmas Horror Story, which was really fun at first. And then it was like, wait, this is just a Hell House plot that is anti-abortion.
Oh.
Like, she was walking around with the, like, baby she'd killed from an abortion.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was, like, all bloody. And she was, like, carrying it around. And she was like, Santa.
White supremacist narrative right there.
Yeah, it was a little bit creepy. And I was like, whoa, this is, like, a different kind of horror story.
What else?
And I watched Jaws.
Of course.
Well, it's a Christmas horror story.
I haven't seen that one either. But it takes place during Christmas. Do you know what I
saw? No, it takes place in June.
Then what makes it a Christmas movie?
Because it makes it feel like Christmas in my house whenever Jaws is on.
Oh, my gosh. I watched Edward Scissorhands, which
I love that one.
I call it a Christmas movie. I call it my favorite Christmas movie. But, I mean, it isn't really a Christmas movie. But
there's snow.
There's snow.
I know. I always mention Groundhog's Day.
Which by its name is not a Christmas movie.
But there's snow.
That's Groundhog's Day.
You know, there's so many holidays people miss out to when they just focus in on Christmas. There was Rumi Day. Did you know that? There's a Rumi Day.
What did you do to celebrate Rumi Day?
Oh, I read a Rumi poem.
Really? Like out loud or to yourself?
I just looked at it on Pinterest. There's the winter solstice, which is technically Yalda, the longest night of the year.
Oh, that's interesting that you celebrate that.
Yalda is really big in Persian culture.
Yeah, because we definitely don't celebrate winter solstice.
What you do is for Shebe Yalda, the night of Yalda, you pray with your grandma and then you like get your club clothes on and you head to the club.
I don't think that's right.
Yeah, it is. No, all Persians do this. If we all do this, I'm speaking on behalf of all Persians.
You go to the club?
Hell yeah.
Like it's a party night?
It's the longest night of the year. How can that not be a DJ's favorite night?
Oh, so you just like dance all night?
Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember what I did.
I mean, I haven't danced since I was like 26, but yeah. Totally. And of course, there's New Year's.
Yes, New Year's.
And New Year's resolutions for more self-care.
That's your resolution?
I'm just feeling really smug. No, I do. I have a concrete resolution.
What is it?
To walk 10 minutes three times a day.
Oh, that's a lot.
Is it?
I mean, I don't really do that much exercising, so to me, that's a lot.
I've been clocking myself. It's only 5 minutes out, 5 minutes back.
5 minutes out to where?
Anywhere. So I just leave the apartment and I walk for 5 minutes and then I come back.
So here's the thing. When you leave the apartment, you have to put on clothes.
It's true. You have to put your bra on.
You have to like put on shoes. You have to remember your keys. That's just a lot of work. There are days upon days where I don't leave my apartment. And this is a problem. Maybe that's my resolution. I have to leave the apartment at least once a day.
What are your resolutions?
I want to get back to working out again. I kind of took a stop when we started eating for the holidays. Go back to exercising. I was doing pretty good with my diet. I kept basically loose paleo. And then when I went into the doctor's office a couple months ago, the blood work came back that I was healthy.
Yay!
Which is awesome. So that means like everything's working because I wasn't so healthy last time I went in. So I want to like maintain that because now I see proof. I want to figure out how to practice joy once a week.
Oh, what is that like? What's the practice of joy?
I have no idea, but I want to do like one thing which will bring me joy once a week. When I was living in DC, I used to do once a week educational things. So for me, that meant going to a museum once a week or participating in a protest or doing something of an activity that was going to enrich me. And this year, I want to draw on that and like figure out what's the one thing I can do for that week that's going to bring me joy. Just be very intentional.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, because I don't think I'm doing enough of that. I also want to do more hobbies. So I want to pick up a hobby. I realize that all my hobbies are now work and then I'm not finding joy in them. So like painting or poetry, like they're all now some sort of a job. So I want to find something that's completely unrelated to anything and start taking on a new skill. So I was thinking maybe like learning to play the ukulele.
Oh, fun.
Or taking psychic classes.
Whoa.
Or underwater basket weaving. I don't know. I just want to, if anyone has a suggestion of something I can pick
underwater
up.
Underwater basket weaving.
Anything. But I need to find something. Hopefully by January 1st, I'll decide what that is.
Well, I know what I'm getting you a gift card for. Basket weaving underwater.
From where?
I don't know. I think I'll teach the class. Then buy you a gift card to my class.
What are your other resolutions?
So I opened up this book called The Power of Habit.
Yeah.
And I like ate it up.
Yeah, I saw your Snapchat.
Oh my God, it's so good. You can follow me on Snapchat at Zara Comedy. It's really good.
What did you learn from it?
So many things, Tess. To build a new habit, you have to have a cue, which is basically like the trigger. Then there's like a routine, and then there's the reward. And the reward, this is like mind-blowing for me. The reward doesn't necessarily need to be positive or negative. It's just a sensation.
Hmm.
So the reason why this is key is because when you're analyzing your habits, you have to first like look at your old habits. You can't really change the triggers, but you can change the routine.
Yeah.
So you keep the things at the ends the same, but you change the thing in the middle. Does that make sense?
Yeah. How does that translate into something for you?
So I haven't figured that out yet. Okay. I've been giving it a lot of thought. Okay. So there's a cue, then there's the routine, and then there's the reward.
Yeah.
And what the guy was saying was it can be really difficult to change an entire habit loop.
Yeah.
But you can change one thing in it, ideally the routine. So he was saying, look at your morning and what your triggers are already, and then throw in something different in the middle, but keep the beginning and end the same. So I tried that. So I still get up and I have coffee, but then now I just leave the house.
Oh.
So I get my walk in and then I come back and I can watch some TV.
Oh.
So I just kept the same reward.
Oh, so TV's your reward.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, a lot of my New Year's things, I want to have better habits and I want to figure out how to instill those.
You got to read this book.
Yeah.
It blew my mind that the reward is just a sensation. So like punishing yourself can still be seen by your body as a reward because it's a sensation.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
Yeah. I didn't even like put that together. Okay.
So if you're like, oh, I want to go outside, and your routine is like you put on the shoes and then you sort of mill around the house and then you berate yourself for not going.
Yeah.
Your body logs that as a habit loop.
Uh-huh.
Because there's three parts. There's the trigger, putting on your clothes. There's the routine of milling around the house. And then there's the reward, the sensation of being disappointed in yourself. Isn't that fascinating?
That is super fascinating. I'll check it out.
When we come back in a year, I'm going to be like a superwoman.
Yeah, you're going to have completely new habits.
This is the thing that cracks me up about resolutions. Is like it's always so that we could become like bionic superhumans. Right? I mean, I'm not satisfied if it's not like anything short of a superpower.
Really? Your resolution? I just want to like try to figure out how to be happy, man. I don't need superpowers. Are you kidding me? Mine is finding joy once a week.
But it doesn't snowball for you? Like,
no.
Once a week joy so that I could do more.
No, my do more is I just want to be happy. Aww. I just want to find happiness, man.
I'm going to get you that underwater basket weaving class, girl.
I don't know if that's going to get me happy, but, you know, something will.
Well, it's not like the news has been really great for happiness.
Yeah, it's not.
You know what? Fuck the news. This is the Christmas reflection joy resolution episode. Fuck the news. We're just like skipping past all the topical bullshit and we're just going to have a good time because you know what? Your resolution once a week is to be fucking happy and that's it.
Yeah. Trump does not make me happy. Ajit Pai net neutrality does not make me happy. The tax scam bill does not make me happy.
Healthcare
does not make me happy. I mean, healthcare makes me happy, but like this access to healthcare and the lack of it doesn't make me happy. Undocumented people getting exported out of this country does not make me happy. Mm. Yeah, there's a lot. Why can't the president take a vacation?
Because he does take lots of vacations and horrible people
right.
who work for him just keep it all going.
That's right. He tweets on vacation. That's right. Why can't we put a fatwa on how Trump tweets on vacation?
This is a spiral, is it? Like, I don't know how you can be human and be in the, like working in Congress right now, not doing everything in your power for the people.
I know.
It just seems inhuman to me.
Absolutely.
Like my brain breaks. I can't.
Yeah. That's why I watch Hallmark Christmas movies.
It's an arm of the KKK.
But still, it's just I can like tune out. If there was a Muslim Christmas rom-com, I would watch that. They just don't exist.
So you got to write that shit.
That's why I'm going to write it. My preference is to watch people of color Christmas rom-coms, but they're not out there. So I'll just watch what I can get.
There is a Muslim Christmas song.
There is.
Can we play a clip of this? Search the sky for light and glory. La 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 ilaha illallah. The moon will smile, don't you worry. La 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 ilaha illallah. Upon Muhammad, peace and blessings. La 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 ilaha illallah. Join together, let us all sing. La 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 ilaha illallah. Okay, you know what I really want to hear about though?
Yeah.
It's what you thought of Star Wars.
It was okay. It was cool. Okay, I didn't watch the ones before it, so I didn't really understand what I was watching.
Oh, no.
And it was like, it was fine, I guess, but, you know, like in Rogue One, you could go into the movie without needing the backstory.
That's true.
And in this one, if you went in without the backstory, it was like, okay.
What did you think of Rogue One?
I loved Rogue One, but that's because I knew what was happening. In this one, I felt like there was a lot of holes that I didn't understand. And I think that any movie that exists, even if it's part of a legacy of movies, it needs to stand on its own two feet without having to have watched everything. And I think that's what this movie lacked. I definitely don't think the storytelling was really filled out in the beginning to make it easy for me to step into it. That's my critique of it.
So I'm going to fill out one part for you.
Yeah.
Because I got a creeping Sharia.
Yeah.
Creeping Sharia.
Yeah.
Okay. We've already done the creeping Sharia about Star Wars being Muslim.
Yeah.
Jedis are jihadis.
Yeah.
This is in another episode, guys. Catch up. But what's even more exciting is the Rebel Alliance logo is the Arabic word for Allah in calligraphy.
Wait, where was this logo?
So on their ring. Remember the scene where Kelly Marie Tran is like talking to the kids and she's like, we're part of the resistance. Look. And she slides her ring and it shows their logo, their secret logo.
Yeah. This and then she gives the ring to the kid?
Yes.
And the kid like holds it at the end of the movie?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't get a good look at that. How do you know this? What does it mean?
Well, because I studied calligraphy when I went to Farsi school.
Yeah.
And we had to write Allah.
So what does this all mean?
So Star Wars is really Muslim and they're telling us all to be jihadis.
What?
Look, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show Taz while you guys are listening. This is the Rebel Alliance logo. Allah. And then the little thing at the top, that's the little...
No, Zara.
It's this thing.
It's kind of a stretch.
It's not if you study calligraphy.
That doesn't look...
Look, this shape.
It just looks round.
Can you read it?
Yeah. It's the Alif Lam Mim.
And then the little squiggle at the top. It's Muslim and they want us to be jihadis. It's Muslim.
I feel like it's creative. It's creatively Muslim.
I'll take that.
My creeping Sharia is this man named Mr. Hussein, who's an accountant, and he has this really long white beard, as older Muslim men are wont to have. This old Muslim man with his long white beard was walking around, and this kid saw him. And this was in South London 4 years ago. And he saw this man and was like, oh, Santa Claus is real, because, like, look at him. And for 4 years, this man kept up this facade and pretended to be Santa Claus. And I thought it was so awesome that this Muslim man was pretending to be Santa Claus for this young little white kid.
Feels like a Bailey School High book.
I was going to say this could be a Christmas rom-com right here. I guess it wouldn't be rom-com. It would be more the genre of Christmas father-son movies, which is another genre of movie because there's always all these divorced dads.
I've seen a lot
of those.
These are
not Hallmark movies, but these are other, you know.
All the Tim Allen ones.
All the Tim Allen ones, yeah. This would be a great setup for that. I thought it was a beautiful, wonderful, creeping Sharia for this wonderful holiday season.
I love that. The Mola Santa.
Accountant. The Accountant Santa.
Oh my God, that's a great movie. The Mola Santa Accountant.
The Mola Santa Accountant.
These just write themselves, man.
They really do. I don't know why Hollywood's not knocking on our door yet.
Are you ready to fatwa?
I am. Okay, what's your fatwa?
This makes me so angry.
Wow, this must be serious.
Ruffles.
What?
They are putting ruffles on clothing everywhere. The neckline, the sleeves, the waistline. It doesn't make any sense. And I gained 40 pounds and I'm still trying to hide it. And I'm working on my body positivity. But in the meantime, I don't need it accentuated by ruffles.
Doesn't ruffles hide it?
No, it accentuates it.
I went into exchange clothes at Buffalo Exchange. You know how you can give them your old stuff? They wouldn't take my things because there weren't ruffles on them because they said that the sleeves need to be statement sleeves. I didn't know that was a term. And so these sleeves have to have special embellishment. So it's a thing now. It's on trend. They won't take your clothes back.
You don't need statement sleeves.
I don't even know what that means. Like poofiness, whatever. Like, am I like 8 again?
Do these triceps look like they need poof? No.
Do you know who wears poofy sleeves? People who don't have arms.
This is what I'm saying.
Like really, really skinny arms.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have this like big poof and then you can look like Popeye.
Oh, I see you have that like nice slimming waistline. Let me just add a couple ruffles.
What?
Ruffles. I fatwa them.
Nice.
So I hope all the ruffles and all the stores are quivering.
I really want to know what the origin of this story is. Like, why ruffles? Like, what happened?
I went to Express and I couldn't buy a single shirt.
Oh, because they were all ruffles. Well, Express.
And then I also tried New York and Company.
Oh, yeah.
I also went to Nordstrom and Macy's. Ruffles. Ruffles everywhere. Statement sleeves.
So funny.
Statement waistline. Do I need my waistline to make a statement? No. Like, are we done fat shaming people? Cool. Then give me ruffles.
Give me the bag of ruffled chips, man. I don't really know what to fatwa. I wanted to fatwa people misspelling my name because I think it's stupid. But instead, I'm going to fatwa how our net neutrality is being taken away from us. For us to have access to net neutrality. We've been doing a lot of campaigning at 18 Million Rising against Ajit Pai and the FCC board. They went ahead and passed, I guess, a resolution this past month where we would have net neutrality taken away from us. And now next step is to take it to Congress. And then there's like another step after that. But it's just, if we don't have access to the internet, our podcast wouldn't exist. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have access to discourse. We wouldn't have access to conversations. And in some ways, you know, I understand that the Russians are the ones that are manipulating our media, but we should also have the power to voice ourselves. This past month has been a lot of thinking a lot about access to media. In LA, we lost LA Weekly to this terrible,
oh no,
Republican Koch brother type company, I guess, who took it over. So we're losing a lot of independent media. We're losing access to the internet. We have a president that keeps saying fake news. So we're also losing people's ability to think of news and media as being trustworthy. So we're just kind of living in this era where media is being super manipulated. So I'm just really concerned about that. I'm fatwaing it.
Mm.
Keep our internet. Do something about net neutrality. If you want to do something, go check out savetheinternet.com. It's a coalition of folks that are working on this. Stay alert. Stay woke on this.
I'm feeling the need for joy right now.
Joy.
Oh, it's so hard not to get bogged down by these things.
Mm. But, I mean, it's hard not to get bogged down, but we do have to do things to not get bogged down. It is our responsibility to the resistance.
I'm so worried about California.
About what?
It's just a really bad year for California with all of the wildfires. And then the land grabs from the wildfires, you know, afterwards. It's a scary time.
I would much rather be in California than in these other states that don't have state laws.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I definitely appreciate being here in this blue state. I'm also very aware of the fact that it's such a huge target of the right.
Totally. I was honestly thinking about this on my drive over. I was thinking about how access to healthcare is being pulled from all these other states. Luckily, in California, we have covered California. We have different kinds of policy and laws in place in California because of who we have elected. And I was thinking about how expensive it is in California, but I don't think I can afford to leave California. The laws in the other states are just not going to protect me. I feel stuck in California, but I'm okay with being stuck in California. You know, it's a good place to get stuck. It was 83 degrees outside today. But that being said, I definitely don't feel like I have access to the rest of the U.S. right now.
It's time to leave.
I'm staying in California.
You're of the stay and fight.
Stay and fight.
I'm of the when is the time for flight?
I am the woman with the purple hair on the ship.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Oh, Star Wars reference.
I've been referencing Star Wars this whole conversation.
This is the first one I got. The purple-haired lady.
Yeah.
People hated her.
Yeah. I kind of hated her, too.
Oh, really?
I just hated her affect.
Oh, the Laura Dern, like, listen, flyboy.
Yeah.
But I do love her. I always just remember her as the smart lady from
Jurassic Park.
Yeah. That's always what I think of when I see her. But I also like dislikable women in positions of power.
Awkward ask a Muslim.
What you got?
Oh my gosh, it was so awkward.
Really?
So like I wrote this critique about the big sick.
Mm.
And then I was in this bar with my other brown friend, Navneet. Mm-hmm. So it was like two brown girls in a bar. And then I look across the way. And then you know how when you see other brown people in a bar, you're like, oh, you know, you scope them out. You're like, who are the Desi people here?
Mm-hmm.
So I scoped the room and I was like, wait, there's a brown face. Then I was like, do I know him? I always do this because I feel like I know every brown person. And then I was like, wait, is that Kumail Nanjiani? And then he was like, yes. And I was like, oh my gosh, what if he read what I wrote about him? And then all of a sudden there's like a empty seat next to us. And then he starts pointing to the empty seats. I was like, Navneet, what if he sits next to us? Am I supposed to introduce myself? Do I not introduce myself?
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it was definitely a very awkward moment in a bar.
Did you talk to him?
No, I didn't talk to him.
What?
I'm not going to go up to him and say like, hey, by the way, your movie sucked. As a Muslim brown girl, your movie sucked for people like me. I wasn't going to say that.
Oh, come on.
He didn't end up sitting next to me. He was on the other side of the bar the whole time. But this was probably the fourth time I've written a critique about someone or something. And then I've been in the same room with them afterwards. And I just get so uncomfortable.
It's a small world.
I stand by what I wrote about The Big Sick. If you haven't read it, go read it. But it's just, you're always just kind of like, what if they're in the same room?
I think you should have snuck up behind him and said, oh, I am the ghost of one of the ashes of the brown girls in the photos that you burned.
Yeah, I should have done that. His wife was there. She might have punched me.
That last scene is just so weird.
So weird.
Like, watching it, it just made me so uncomfortable. Like, no matter what you think of the movie, because, like, the whole movie I went back and forth. Do I like this? Do I not like this? Is this good? Is this bad for the people? Is this good for the people? And then at the last scene, the ashes of all the photos of the brown girls.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, how do you even say that sentence without...
Yeah, come on. Come on. What were you thinking? Was this an Apatow move?
What if you had sat down next to him and he was like, save me. Help.
He's like, help me, Muslim brown girl.
I don't know what to do.
Tell me what to do. Kumail Nanjiani, you're welcome on our podcast and I can tell you how to be saved. I'm just putting that out there.
And it's okay if you want to like say that Judd Apatow's not funny.
Yeah, that's fine. You can tell us.
This is a safe space for you, Snowflake.
That same weekend, I was at this event and I saw Avan Jonjia. And I saw him across the room and I was like, wait, that guy looks really familiar. And
Aladdin?
He's not Aladdin. He didn't get cast as Aladdin, but he's who we wanted to cast as Aladdin. He was who I wanted because I thought he was going to be amazing.
How are you just around these hot stars all the time?
LA.
Was he your doctor? Is that where this story is going?
No, no, no.
Did he do your pap smear?
No.
Is that what happened?
I don't think I want him to do my pap
smear. Is he at your house?
No. But I did talk to him, and he was very nice and cordial.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then he handed you a jar and was like, these are the ashes of all the
brown. No. He had his very pretty actress girlfriend next to him.
Oh, I see what happened there. Okay, no comment.
But yeah, you should have cast him as Aladdin. Just going to put that out there.
Okay, so I had a very awkward moment the last time we were recording this podcast.
Yeah.
I had a shirt that had malintentions.
Your shirt definitely had malintentions.
It did not stay buttoned.
This is why we wear safety pins, people.
Where were all the white women with safety pins when my shirt was spontaneously unbuttoning?
I know. We looked around. We didn't find any of these white women with safety pins.
Well, let me clarify. You weren't with me at this time.
No, but you did come to me
because
afterwards.
I say this because if you were there, you would have told me.
Maybe.
Oh, really? Oh, damn. A2, Taz. A2.
I would have told you. I would have looked for a safety pin. I would have been that auntie with a safety pin on my bracelet.
Listen to me. I was walking around for 30 minutes with my boobs hanging out in my hot bra underneath my flannel shirt that was completely unbuttoned at the top. And I didn't feel it because I had my bag strap over me. And I had my really Spanx pinching me, and I really wasn't paying attention to my body because also I've not been doing that for all of 2017.
To be fair, your bra was a little bit more conservative than other bras, so it kind of looked like it could have been a tank top.
Maybe that's why then the Apple Store guys didn't tell me, and the people who were sitting in the parklet at the burger store didn't tell me, and none of the parking attendants told me, and neither did the guy walking six dogs or the guy that I asked directions.
Also, we are in the art district of LA, and the people here do wear bras as outside
wear. So this was just my outfit. People were just like, oh, she's trying to do that outfit thing.
Yeah,
and they just like looked at me, looked at my boobs.
Oh, maybe she's just doing a thing.
Blushed, looked down at the floor.
Yeah. They're like, oh, she's doing it. This is like part of her art project.
This is also how you can tell that I've been married for so damn long, is that I was like, oh, man, they really are into my flannel shirt. They really find it sick. My husband has a thing for red flannel. He's really into it.
Really?
Yeah.
This explains so much.
Does
it's
it?
All that's in your wardrobe.
I'm going to unzip right now.
Every time I've seen
Check
you, you've been wearing
this.
Red flannel.
What is this I'm wearing right now, Tez?
Red flannel. You can see it in almost all of our photos.
Yeah, baby.
It is a red flannel.
He's really into it. So then I was just like, oh, yeah, people are digging my flannel. Nope.
Nope.
Awkward.
Super awkward. And for all y'all with safety pins, you failed us.
You've failed miserably.
What's the point of wearing your safety pin if you can't use the safety pin for safety pin needs? This was a very necessary safety pin need.
I appreciated how your voice cracked a little bit at that last moment.
Safety pin needs, man. Okay, so I did a writing retreat this past month, and then I was working on this Muslim Christmas rom-com, which I'm so excited about. I'm ecstatic about it. And I basically wrote up the outline, and then on my way out of the desert, I stopped by Palm Springs, and I went to Robo Lights. I've only been to the outside of Robo Lights. I've never walked in and never gone in during Christmas season. So I went, and my mind was blown. It was basically this artist. His name is Kenny Irwin. He is an artist who was making sculptures out of found items in his parents' backyard in Palm Springs. He's a Muslim convert. He's a white Muslim convert, a little eccentric. And he kind of has taken over his parents' backyard with this land called Robolights. And it's incredible. It's kind of Muslimish and alienish and Christmasish and just like found weird, morbid, dark, depressing, joyous. It's amazing. And the first thing that happened when I walked in was that Muslim Christmas song was playing where it was like,
La ilaha illallah.
Yeah, that's the song. And I was like, what? This is like my Muslim Christmas movie come to life. So then I decided that I have to completely rewrite my script and, and base it around Robolights. Because, of course, I have to now, like after seeing that space.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you haven't been, you have to go. Robolights is only open during Christmas time. You enter in. It's $5. Give yourself a couple hours. I think you can go during the rest of the year, but you have to either schedule it, and you can definitely walk around outside it. You have to go. Have to go. My Good Muslim Award goes to Kenny Irwin. Robolights. What's your award?
All right. So I thought about giving my award to Kelly Marie Tran because she is
awesome.
She's awesome. And she's in Star Wars, which is a jihadi Muslim movie.
Yeah, it's true. And she's a friend of a friend. She's in the LA Asian American community.
And here's the thing. She is rocking all the paraphernalia, Taz.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
The crescent moon.
Yeah.
And the resistance ring with a Allah in calligraphy.
It's not Allah in calligraphy.
It is. It is.
She has a little figurine of herself. Star Wars has a figurine of her.
Which she also probably has one.
Yeah, of course.
So can I give her a good Muslim award?
I say why not.
Is she Muslim enough? That's pretty Muslim.
She deserves it. We need more Asian American women in the media. It was amazing to watch her. And it was such a beautiful, fun role that she was playing too.
Oh, I loved her quote where she says, that's how we're going to win, not fighting what we hate, but saving what we love.
Which I feel like is what this podcast is about too. This should be our motto.
Oh.
We should take it.
We're saving what we love.
Yes.
Each other.
And the world and all the people in it.
This should be a song.
Joy to the world. We've been pretty busy though. You were in a podcast.
I was.
Whose podcast?
Phil Circus, producer of Politically Reactive and Come Out Right Now on KLW, and Anita Sarkeesian's Feminist Frequency podcast, is creating a new podcast called Spice Cabinet.
How is it?
It was so fun.
Awesome.
He came to my house. We sat in the kitchen.
What?
And we looked at my spices and told stories about the spices. It was so fun. It's such a great podcast.
Which house?
My parents' house.
Oh, that's much more spicier.
Yeah, much spicier. Yeah, and I had like so many stories behind all the spices, and it was just like so fun, and he's so great.
Oh, that sounds like fun. I want to know what kind of spices are in your cabinet that it's different than everyone else's, than what would be in mine.
Well, there's like this big mix of Iranian spices and also like all the spices that me and my siblings brought to the house
right
as we were learning to cook.
Totally.
So there's these like old school giant jars that are just like being refilled, giant jars of turmeric and cinnamon
right.
and shallot crisps and onion crisps and saffron.
Yeah.
And then there's like, hey, here's a giant jar of cloves and mulled spices and allspice for the pumpkin pie
right.
nutmeg and, you know, all the and the herbs of Provence for the Thanksgiving turkey
right.
and, you know, all the stuff that we brought. And then my dad started cooking. So then we have like this giant jar of crushed red pepper that he throws into everything. He puts it in everything.
That's the way my dad would use curry powder, and it would drive my mom crazy because she's like, no one except white people use curry powder.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So we are a non-curry powder house. Can't wait to hear it. I was on a couple podcasts. I was on A Very Hallmark Christmas. Check that out. I was also on the Model Majority podcast, which is a podcast about Asian American politics. Check that out too. They were a lot of fun. We were also on a list of 100 AZNs, not Asians, AZNs. That was a lot of fun. It was a cool list. You can check that out at the hashtag 100AZNS. And I was on a list called 17 Women of Color Who Rocked the Resistance in 2017, which an amazing list. There's some really dope people on this list. So I was pretty honored just to share that
including
page.
You. Yeah.
like ridiculously amazing people.
That was a badass list.
And we were also both on Humans of Visual Communications, which is where we're recording our podcast today. Thank you to Visual Communications. Visual Communications is an Asian American media and art space here in LA. Potluck Podcast House, our studio that we're in, we are housed inside one of their rooms at Visual Communications. We're so excited that they are very supportive of the Potluck Podcast Collective. Thank you. Check it out. Check out Visual Communications. What you got going on this month? What you got going on this year, we should say. What you got going on for 2018?
You mean other than becoming a bionic human?
Apparently.
I am performing. I'm doing a guest set at Kamau Bell's show at the San Francisco Punchline in January, end of January. You can find all my show dates on my website, zaracomedy.com. And I have a bunch of shows in February that are coming up.
Cool.
Yeah. How about you? What you got going on?
I hopefully don't have much going on. I'm really trained to focus on writing, and I'm really trying not to get anything on my plate for January because we have some big plans coming up for 18 Million Rising, so I need to be hyper-focused on getting things off the ground. In case we haven't mentioned it, Zara and I are still accepting donations. You can still donate on our website. Please do donate. Go to the website. Give us some money. It's that time of the year of giving, so please give.
Because of your donations, we were able to purchase our microphones.
Yes.
And also get the paperwork together to also then get advertising money.
Yes.
And pay our producer.
Which hopefully will be happening soon. You can donate at www.goodmuslimbadmuslim.com. Just go to donate, click, give money. Thanks for listening to the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast, hosted by Taz Ahmed and Zara Norbash. You can follow Taz on Twitter at TazzyStar, that's TAZZYSTAR, and Zara at Zara Comedy, that's ZAHRA Comedy. The show is produced and edited by Quincy Sarasmith, and you can find us on the web at GoodMuslimBadMuslim.com. To follow the conversation, please use the hashtag GoodMuslimBadMuslim. Good Muslim, Bad Muslim is a proud member of Potluck, a collective that features stories and voices from the Asian American community.
What is this I'm wearing right now, Taz?
Red flannel.